Let us pray. God of the wilderness places, be present with us as we seek a path through your word this day. Encourage us, guide us, speak to us. We ask this in the name of Christ as he finds his way through the wilderness. Amen. So today we get to talk about something that plays a pretty huge part in our lives. Temptation. We don't talk about it a whole lot, but it's a big part of pretty much every day of our life. It's with us everywhere we go, calling to us, offering us something that we really want, desperately so, perhaps. And without it, we wouldn't really be where we are as a society, because temptation is a very close cousin of ambition. That thing that drives us to accomplish things in our lives. And we've all been tempted before. I'm sure that maybe even a few of us have succumbed to temptation in some form or another. And here's just a few examples that we all fall into. You ever have a dream that was just perfect? You're on a beach somewhere. It's warm on a day like today. It's a really nice thought. Or maybe you're not on a beach. Maybe you're not on the ground at all. Maybe you can fly. But then something comes along and you wake up. Maybe it was an alarm, or maybe it was the sound of a child, or maybe it was you realizing it was a dream in the first place, and that jarred you from your sleep. Now here's the temptation. In those moments right after we wake, there is a call in the back of our mind to return to that dreamland, to fly again, to lay on the beach again. And in that call, we're offered a choice. We can either get up and get on with our lives, or we can try to go back to the dream, a seductive temptation that anybody could give into. And one that many of us find ourselves saying, just 10 more minutes. What about dessert? You saw in the hymn there was an awesome typo that God swept through the dessert, leaving us none but sand, right? But what about dessert? That's the ultimate temptation. We just finished our meal. We're full. We ordered what we knew what we'd eat. That dessert is calling to us. All loaded with sugar and other things that are most assuredly bad for us. Then we think, well, we haven't treated ourselves. We haven't treated ourselves in a long time, and I can always eat better tomorrow, or, you know, maybe next week. Temptation is everywhere in our lives. Something that I find very tempting that hasn't happened yet this year is when worship is canceled due to poor weather. I've already got the worship service done. Bulletins are most likely printed. Prayers are written. And the sermon's usually ready to go. And then a storm comes along and we end up having worship canceled. That hasn't happened yet. Touch wood. But that leaves me with a choice. I could start my week like I do every week, getting the service ready, researching a new sermon, taking the time to write prayers, or I could reuse the sermon from last week. I could reuse the whole service from last week. Now that's tempting. That other week's service was good, and I mean it was already done. So I ask myself, why shouldn't I? Why shouldn't I use that already done, pre-wrapped gift of a service? I could take a break this week. I mean, I've got regular visits to do, but worship planning and sermon prep, that takes a huge chunk of time. Time that could be spent in other areas of the church, or, let's be honest, making up for time that I've spent away from my family and kids just to be here. And I'm not going to lie. It's tempting. At least until I read passages like the one today. And then in my heart of hearts, I really have no choice. And so I set about to writing the prayers for the week. Today we're talking about a pretty significant time in Jesus' life. In many ways, this is the turning point for Jesus, because it was during this time in the desert, not desert, this time in the wilderness, that he discerned his path forward, that he sought guidance for the road ahead. And all the while, he was being tempted by Satan or his adversary. He was tempted with food. He was tempted with authority, with power. And these are just the ones that we read about. These are just the ones that the devil tries to trap him with. That's all well and good, and I'm sure that we've talked about temptation stories enough that we know how to get over the temptation of food and power and authority. But what about what's going on in Jesus' own mind during this time? For his whole life up to this point, he'd just been a carpenter's son. It was a hard life, to be sure, but maybe one that would be preferable to a life where he must sacrifice himself. What a temptation that must have been for him. His life might go unnoticed. No one would have written about him, but he would have been able to live a normal life. Indeed, that can often be the greatest temptation of all. To go back. For Christ to have seen the world suffering, hungry, in pain, and to do nothing. It might sound heartless when faced with the life that he had to lead, it would have been tempting. In many ways, churches of today find themselves in a wilderness very similar to where Christ finds himself in our reading. We find ourselves in a place where we're looking back on what once was, and we're realizing that it's not that way anymore. That we are no longer in that place that we knew so well. What's worse is that we haven't found out where we're going yet. Instead, we're looking into a future, into the unknown, from this wilderness place, a place filled with temptations. But it's also filled with choices that will determine our future. But we didn't come into this wilderness empty-handed. Like Christ, we carry with us the memory of what our lives once were, a time and a place that, as much as we would like to return there, as tempting as that would be, we just aren't those people anymore. But as lost as we feel, as scary as that future might seem, in this wilderness place, we are still left with a choice, the same one that Christ had. We can choose to do nothing. It doesn't seem like much of a choice, but always, no matter how many options or how few, it is always one of them. You could go right, you could go left. Or you could do nothing. And really, it's the easiest thing to do, because doing nothing means we don't have to face our choices. We don't have to face our future. But the problem with doing nothing is that the world doesn't stop with us. By choosing not to act, not to grow, not to move or change, the world ends up treating us like statues. Nice to look at, but not going anywhere. How often have we heard people refer to the church with phrases like this? That's a beautiful building. What about the people inside? The world sees us, sees our buildings, and sees the choices that we've made. It's not that we're stuck in the past. It's that we haven't decided who we are. What we are. We aren't the church of 4th century Rome anymore. We aren't the church of the Reformation. We aren't even the church of Union from the 20th century. We are a church roaming the wilderness between who we were and who we will be. But we have to make the choice to walk, to journey towards the unknown, the difficult, the different. Because if we choose to do nothing and remain in the desert, then we become nothing more than the dust that surrounds us. This is what Lent is truly about. It's not about giving something up. It's about taking something on. It's about hearing God's call, as Christ did, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and heal the sick. To face the future boldly. Rather than give up, we are called to give back. And when we answer that call, when we truly understand that to worship God is to serve God's people, then doing nothing isn't really a choice at all. So what will you be taking on for Lent? How will you change the face of the church? Because being in the wilderness isn't just about being lost. It's about finding out who you are, and more importantly, whose you are. As we follow Christ into the world, let us go with His strength to rise when we've fallen, and with the power of the Holy Spirit to act, to move, to change a world in need of changing. For this and all things, we ask God's blessing, God's presence, and God's guidance on the way. Amen.